The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning, it's Tuesday and it's Oliver Callan here standing in for Ryan. The text is 51551, ryan@rte.ie is the email. This is an election-free zone for the next hour, but one election we're expecting to be talking about this morning is the US Democratic presidential nomination in Iowa. You heard Brian O'Donovan there talking about the problems with the technologies. We don't know who has won or lost that one. But it's interesting that such a tiny little rural state gets to set the ball rolling and set the agenda on that big election, the election of the nominee to take on Donald WTF Trump next November. It's a bit like letting Leitrim decide on who gets to run for high office in a way. But anyway, we won't be talking too much about elections, although it is important. Certainly one person we're rooting for from an impressionist point of view is Bernie Sanders and his wonderful voice. We are talking about a huge movement against the millionaires and the billionaires. Beautiful Brooklyn accent. Now, we have the mid-Atlantic accent over here, but one thing we have apparently is a mild Atlantic way, according to the Irish Daily Star. No bother, as we're named one of the least irritable nations on the planet. Irish people are among the least irritable nationalities, according to a study published in the Journal of Affective Disorders. It found that Irish and English people are among the most unruffled of nations. The study examined the rates of irritability in people from 10 English-speaking countries, so out of China, Australia, India, Malaysia, New Zealand, Singapore, South Africa. We came out the best. We, the participants in this study, the Irish ones, were the least irritable for days, weeks or months. So maybe the study didn't take account of Irish people in their cars in the morning, or maybe those shouting at linesmen at GA matches or in the queue for the, you know, the self-service checkout in the supermarket. I find a lot of anger there. Actually in the cinema last night, I went to see The Personal History of David Copperfield myself, and I found myself getting very irritated by people eating sweets next to me, very rattly sweets. And these weren't, there were no spring chickens now, the pair of ladies sitting next to me, and they were rattling through a whole packet of Scott's Clan. And, you know, I tolerated it. You don't expect it at a film like David Copperfield. And then I eventually, because there was a bit of chatter and commentary going on every time Brona Gallagher or Rosalind Linnan, one of the Irish actors who are absolutely amazing in the film, came on, there was a good bit of a conversation, and I just found myself doing a big shh. And it worked, but I didn't really forgive myself. But there you go. We are apparently very, very mild in ways, maybe in different places. Now, one thing that sent us very irritable yesterday was a discussion on cutlery and the way it goes into dishwashers, whether it goes up or down. And, well, Mary has texted us to say knives up, knives down. We caused such a row in her house that it was knives out by that time they came to stack the dishwasher after dinner last night. And Walter emails us to tell us that his system, which is so complicated, but it works for him. He says, good morning. Great listening to you yesterday. You were discussing a subject very close to his heart. There are usually 8 sections in the cutlery tray in dishwashers. I have a system of putting knives in 2 sections, forks in 2, large spoons in 2, then one section exclusively for small spoons and the other section for large knives and so on. All the cutlery facing down, which is after me, but that's a lot of order. And he wants to patent his idea, but the only problem is getting adult children to stick with the system. That's Walter in Dunboyne. And he actually sent us a picture of his dishwasher. Now, it won't be one we'd be putting up to appetise anybody today. And the only question I would have for Walter is a bit of rinsing needs to be done, because I can tell exactly what you had for dinner. There's a bit of lasagna there. There's a spoon which looks like mash spuds. And I'm not even sure your system is photographed correctly. And there's a chipped plate, Walter. I'll have to, I have a bit of expertise in this area because I did work for a summer as a dishwasher in the 90s for the Newmarle Hotel, and anything with a chip in it had to go because it's a headquarters for bacteria. So, but apart from that, very well done in putting the knives down. A discussion that will never end. Now, Star Wars and Skellig Michael. Are we irritated about that type of thing? In the Irish Examiner, we hear this morning that the former manager, this is the OPW manager who was running the Skelligs, has misgivings about using the historic site for commercial filming, Star Wars in particular. The site manager Grellin Rourke, who worked on the island for more than 40 years, has said filming scenes for two Star Wars movies was inappropriate and claimed many visitors to the World Heritage Site are now more interested in the Star Wars bit than the ancient history. This is very kind of interesting, and it comes from a Freedom of Information request. Grellin Rourke, by the way, we have to say he retired from his position last summer, so it's interesting to hear his reflection now. Now, the daily limit is still 180 visitors a day. UNESCO, because it is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, did not express any dissatisfaction or anything about the Star Wars thing, but Grellin is worried that the use of the island might have resulted in a change in people's perceptions. And this was a little concern of mine as well at the time, because you have a history, 1400 year history, but most people just see the Skelligs, particularly the American visitors or people from all over the world, I suppose, and say, yeah, that's the Star Wars thing from The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. You know, it might work in both ways. Star Wars fans are coming over and they're realising there is another history to it. But there is a bit of a question mark there for us all. Now, to what the Brits are thinking about the moment. 77% of Canadians don't want to pay for Megxit. This is in the Irish Daily Mail today. The majority of Canadians don't want to pay for Harry and Meghan's security as they're not representing the Queen. After moving there, of course, they've split from the royal family, so would they be representing it? Canada's largest commercial TV channel, CTV, found that 77% oppose footing the bill to guard the couple because they're not in the country on behalf of the British monarchy anymore. I love the Harry and Meghan stories because it is utterly inconsequential for us. I suppose if you're British and you're a subject of the crown, it's important your taxpayers' money is there, but there's also, I suppose, you've been brought up with that belief that there's a birthright to the monarchy and they have a God-given right to represent them and so on. But I don't watch soaps, so this is a soap that I get to enjoy, and it's like the crown in real life. In fact, it was so dramatic last year, I think it kind of overshadowed the crown. And speaking of the crown, Gillian Anderson, we see also in the Daily Mail, sporting shoulder pads and bouffant hair as she portrays Margaret Thatcher in the upcoming series of The Crown. She looks great. This is Gillian Anderson, best known from from The X-Files. And she was also in The Fall, I think it was called, wasn't that? That serial killer show, which was very good. Brilliant actress, seems to love coming over here to make stuff. So she's in series 4 of The Crown. Olivia Colman is still playing the Queen, although I wasn't fully gone on her. I preferred Claire Foy in the earlier series, even though fabulous actress and everything, Olivia. But Tobias Menzies played Prince Philip, and I thought he was absolutely brilliant. But they've also announced that the Crown itself was supposed to go on, I think, for 6 series, but now it's only going to go for 5. And Imelda Staunton will play the older Queen Elizabeth. She was Dolores Umbridge, wearing all the pink and obsessed with cats in the Harry Potter series. Another British film, actually, since we're on the subject. Steve Coogan is playing a tycoon, I think, based on Philip Green, who ran Top Shop and Top Man and all of that in a film called Greed, which is coming out next week. And it's a comedy satire. It's by Michael Winterbottom, who made The Trip with Steve Coogan. And that looks very good. I'm very excited about that one. But in real life drama, at number 10, journalists boycott number 10 briefing on Brexit. The Irish Examiner tells us this morning that Downing Street ordered senior journalists from some of the UK's major news organisations to leave before a briefing on Boris Johnson's Brexit plans, but prompted a walkout by colleagues from across the media. So basically, selected journalists were invited for the briefing. They were kind of separated, and the press people were trying to handpick who got to attend the briefing and therefore ask questions of Boris Johnson. You know, when he was questioned, this is the number 10's director of communications, Lee Kane. He said, "We're welcome to brief whoever we want, whenever we want." But this prompted, because of the treatment from various organisations, their competitors, but their fellow journalists, chose to walk out rather than receive the briefing. We hear that among those who refused the briefing and walked out were the BBC's Laura Koonsberg, ITV's Robert Peston, journalists from the Daily Mail, the Telegraph, the Sun, Financial Times and Guardian. It's all very Trumpian in terms of ejecting people from briefings, and disturbing that they would even attempt to control who comes in, especially since Boris Johnson claimed himself to be a journalist of sorts once upon a time. But I mean, it has to be said, it has backfired. The whole thing has been reported negatively in newspapers that you would argue are considered, I suppose, you know, friendly towards number 10 currently, and the Tories, the Daily Mail, the Sun, everyone's covered it today. But it always lends itself again to that cult around Dominic Cummings, the spin master in number 10. And I think he wants to be seen as some kind of troubled genius. But anyway, to happier news, the Guardian, some people say the Guardian, but it's the Guardian, according to me. The Greta effect is spurring UK children's online activism, according to Ofcom. We have Comreg in this country, they have Ofcom. They've credited the Greta effect after recording an increase in the proportion of 12 to 15 year old children taking part in online activism for environmental and political causes. Almost a fifth of children in the age group gave support to causes or organisations by sharing or commenting on social media posts last year, up 8% on 2018. 1 in 10 signed an online petition, and The Guardian is linking this to Greta Thunberg beginning her school climate strikes in August 2018. Wow, she's been at it quite a while. More than half of 12 to 15 year olds said they had seen hateful material as well. This is all part of the same survey. One of the key findings is that more children, I suppose, are experiencing the better sides of the internet than the negative sides of the internet. And if you have kids out being active and being aware of what's going on around them, because sometimes we claim that they've got their heads buried in rubbish, whether it was One Direction, although that's 1,000 years ago already. There's a sideline story I put alongside this one in the Daily Telegraph. It's about Alexa killing the radio star, because apparently children are increasingly turning to voice-activated smart speakers such as Alexa for information and entertainment rather than the wireless, the radio. Great concern to us. Under 16s shunning the wireless to ask digital assistants to tell them jokes and ask for help with their homework. Not that I don't think the radio really helped with homework all that much. I'm very iffy about it. And there is a bit of a chat going on in our house because the Super Bowl ads had loads of very clever ads. Ellen and her wife, Portia, I think it is, were in an ad, and it was like, what did people do before Alexa existed? And you go back in time and people are just talking to servants called Alexa. It's a funny ad, but it's all about getting these devices into your home. And I'm wondering, it's just the collection of data. I even heard this morning discussion about a smart bra, which is collecting data on a bra. So, I mean, everywhere where there's no data currently being collected, there are people in tech companies around the world wondering, how do we get in there? How do we get that information from people? They don't want you using cash, for instance, because if you're using cash, there's no trace, but I'm sure they'll find a way of chipping it and so on. Now, some of your texts on 51551. You can email us on ryan@rte.ie. As a tour director and tour guide, I found that the tourist is looking for connections they relate to. So that's why Star Wars works as a location, etc. Okay, so they're looking for connections, but they're coming, I suppose, for film. They're not, are they interested? Do they even know about the monks who were there in the beehive cells? The dishwasher row enters its second day. Dishes, knives, forks, just hand wash them. No dishwasher, no rows. Easy as you go. Well, you know, if you want to, you'll have to stick on the marigolds, and then there might be a row about whether you use the marigolds. And then if you've got the, you know, chafed hands afterwards, you will be using tubs of Neutrogena. On and on that discussion will go. Now, musical news in the Irish Daily Star. ABBA to release new tunes. It's Mamma Mia, here we go again. Supergroup ABBA have revealed they're releasing new music in 2020. Band member Benny Anderson said they plan to unveil fresh tracks for the first time in 4 decades, with a release date earmarked for this September. The 73-year-old said, they're coming this year, I'm guessing after the summer, but I can only guess because I'm not really sure, but I would think so. He's sounding like Jurgen Klopp a bit there, isn't he? Now, I was sceptical of Mamma Mia, and I went to see the Bort Gosch show, and I was blown away. They're catchy tunes, but I did not realise until I was sitting there watching the songs being acted out, and I know it's like, this is going to sound daft because it's not exactly subtle, the lyrics, the amount of breakup songs. And we just laughed the whole way through because of the nature of the breakup songs and how on the nose they are. And I have this kind of, I have an issue. I can't really hear lyrics of songs. I can't focus on them. And it's related to how badly I also did in the Aural, you know, the Irish tapes and the French tapes. I couldn't hear a word. And my French and Irish wasn't bad. I don't have Gaeilge Leafa, but, you know, I just couldn't understand a word that they were saying. But anyway, we had a discussion how we opened today's show and with an ABBA song. What's the ABBA song? I liked Does Your Mother Know? They think it's too sad. The winner takes it all. That's supposed to be too sad. It's too on the nose. So we went with the Alan Partridge one instead. Ah, cheer up. Plenty more fish in the sea. Knowing me, knowing you, that's ABBA. Breakup songs. I mean, it's pretty on the nose. Breaking up is never easy and so on. Now, talking in the cinema has really exercised people. Cranky in Cork, Texas, to say, why do people go to the cinema to chat? I too saw David Copperfield last week. Again, there were two ladies who failed to shut up at the beginning of the movie, and someone who was sitting near them did the loud shush, which worked. Why don't those people who love to chat either stay at home or go to the parent and baby showings where they can be louder and make as much noise as they want with their Scots clan? Now, I have to point out, I did feel really bad. I mean, it was just, it came from an ancestral part of my brain. I did the big shh because, you know, 10 minutes into the chatting, I had to get them to stop. And they did stop. They stopped, but I felt really bad. And I was hoping they would leave before me so that I wouldn't have to interact with them because they were kind of blocking my exit, but they didn't leave because they wanted to sit and chat during the credits. And then, of course, the lights came up and there was no hiding. I pretended to be on my phone, but I did feel terrible shame, but it did work. And a really, really, really good film. And you wanted to hear the dialogue because it is absolutely gorgeous. The dishwasher wars continue. Kathy tells us she has a dishwasher, which is a cutlery tray on top. It is the best thing ever. Love the sound of that. We will be talking about something completely different, however, after the break. Serial killers and the like. A little bit away from dishwashers, but it could be related. 51551. Back after these. Welcome back. It's Oliver Callan in for Ryan. We're hurtling towards 10 o'clock. Love hearing about these scents, says a texter. Go over the brown mountain when the heather is in bloom. Nothing like it. And as Barbara is from Wicklow, she can just drive over it, says Marie. Hi, Oliver. My product, Essence of Dublin, which is the smell of fish and chips in an aerosol can, should also be in the Oscars bag, says Molly. Thanks a million for that. Now to one of my favourite songs of last year, a band called White Lies, post-punk, I believe is the description of this sound. Here's a good old catchy tune. Now, the lyrics are nothing to write home about, but a good old tune, Tokyo. Call Tokyo, Call Leon is the same but different. I mean, it's not exactly Bob Dylan, but it's a good rockin' tune. That's White Lies. Now, we have been talking about noisy cretins at the cinema and the theatre, annoying nuisance people who talk out loud, loud whispering at the cinema and the theatre. Mary Dillon is on the line. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Oliver. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And to establish your whereabouts, you were at the Lieutenant of Inishmore, or would you call it the Lieutenant of Inishmore?
I'd call it the Lieutenant of Inishmore.
So tell us what happened in the Gaiety Theatre last week.
So off we went with my son, Robbie, last Thursday, Christmas present to mum. So you
Lovely.
Can tell I'm a lady of mature years. And we're enjoying it immensely. And the next thing, a person in front of me starts rustling in her bag and pulls out her mobile phone. Clearly an emergency. Oh no, myself and the lady beside me observed her looking at Instagram. So I said
Very
to the lady
important.
Beside me,
Vital
pat her
emergency.
On the shoulder and tell her to stop. And she went, well, if she's ignorant enough to take out her phone, she's not going to put it away for me. 2 minutes later, another woman further down takes out her mobile phone. Unbelievable. They were on it so long that the usher came down with her torch and flashed them.
So
and I know what you're thinking,
In the meantime,
Oliver,
you're now dragged completely away from
exactly,
Inishmore.
Exactly.
You're now irritated.
Yeah, annoyed and also distracted because I'm talking to the lady beside me. So you'd presume these were young ones because they haven't got any manners.
Yes.
No, Oliver. They were mature ladies, like myself. They were women in their 60s that I would have expected would know an awful lot better and would probably be the first ones to blame young ones for bad behaviour.
They would. And have you ever been shushed at a performance, by the way? Or are you always the shusher?
I am probably the shusher. Because like that, like the lady said earlier, I was at the cinema with my mum, who's 90 and hard of hearing, and two very nice ladies sat down beside us and talked the whole way through the film, Downton Abbey.
That's why. And did no one do the big shh?
Do you know, you're kind of embarrassed, a bit like that man was saying earlier. When the lights go up, you're sitting there and they almost blame you for complaining.
Stuck there.
Where are the manners?
Well, you feel like the bad person then.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And as for eating in the theatre, but the thing is, they do sell sweets and crisps at the entrance.
They do, but I mean, people have a bit of opprobrium, surely. But in fairness to the Gaiety, the ushers did come down and they flashed the light.
She came down quite quickly and flashed the light, which was great because then the ladies were really embarrassed because everybody was looking at them. But again, kind of distracting from the play.
Yeah, I can imagine being on stage.
Yes, and as I said, the lights of the phones shining, then the torch flashing. Anyway, do you know something? It did not take away from the enjoyment of a truly truly amazing play.
And come here, did you when you saw them leaving, did you give them the old stink eye on the way out?
Of course I did. Can't you tell by my voice I'm not somebody who lets things go easily?
But the worst thing sometimes is I sometimes give stink eye to people like that and they're totally oblivious to anything they've done wrong. They don't care if anyone cares.
But don't you think that they actually stink eye you back worse, as if to say, how dare you look at me?
Exactly. Well, Mary, you've brought something to our attention. Let's spread the word. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mary Dillon in Rathfarnham there. Some word on the dishwashers. It's a matter of simple hygiene, says Jennifer. All go in downwards. Are your hands really clean when you are emptying? Really? Says Jennifer. Oliver, the final word on dishwashers. This is from Tom. He says, only lazy people have dishwashers. I love washing Delf by hand. Well, Tom, you must have a load of time in your hands, or maybe you don't use very much Delf. Maybe you're using paper plates. Who knows? Anyway, that's it for me. Ryan is back tomorrow. Callan's Kicks is off air this week on account of the election. Sure, we'd only crash the election if we're on air, but we are back on the 14th of February. Thank you all very much. Sean O'Rourke is coming up next.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.